The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
We have heard over the years, we need to get back some of our special guests from before Holly.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the people want to hear updates. They want to hear what's new. Have Why Me moments changed? And so we thought, let's lean into a friend who we know their journey is continuing and will continue. And let's test this out on behalf of the projectors.
Yeah, well, because after 7 years, our podcasts only stick around for about two. So after 2 years, people be like, oh, why don't you talk to so-and-so? Or why don't you talk to Thingamajig? And it's like, well, we talked to them, but like 5 years ago or 6 years ago. And it was episode 230 that we had a chance to talk with our guests that we have for today.
Yes. And a lot has happened between that episode and now. So we are going to find out, can you have more than one why me? And like life-shaping why me moments?
We'll
find out today.
There you are. Lori, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back. Has it really been that long?
Yes.
Feels like yesterday.
It really does. I was thinking that as well as we were going through some of the past guests. And I just, it's, time's such a weird thing.
Absolutely. And it's flying by when you have fun and when you're not having fun.
Yeah, exactly.
So despite the fact that you are a repeat guest and our first of hopefully many, I think we still should at least go back a little bit because we still have our skill testing question in which we will ask you, for those who maybe missed it, Lori, who are you and where did you come from?
I'm an author of a recent book all on identity to answer the question, who am I? So we'll get into that later. But in short, I'm a speaker and an author and a former TV host. I've stepped into a new season. I left 700 Club Canada, this wonderful daily TV show that I had the privilege of being a part of for almost 6 years. And now I've launched into a new season. But aside from what I do, I'm a wife. Hey, 38 years, guys. 38 years this summer, my husband, Dean, and I will be married. We have three kids that are, my daughter's now married. They're all married and five grandbabies. How's that?
I do sometimes creep on your social media and you're the grandma that surfs. You're the grandma that does the water skiing.
No, it's surfing. You're right. I surf behind my boat and we're teaching those grandchildren to do it. Who says you can't do it when you're old, right?
But do you find the after effects of surfing behind a boat now more painful than before?
Not a lot of people get to surf. Like we do the skiing, you know, the wakeboarding, maybe the tubing. And when you fall, you smash in the water, beat you all up. You stagger out of the lake and pretend you had a good time. Surfing, the truth is, you're actually going quite slow. It's building up this big wake, but you're not actually moving that fast. You go bloop in the water. It's fitting my age and stage just fine.
Last time you were here, you shared a little bit about your life journey, your kids, the struggles that you dealt with as a mom and a parent, and just navigating kids who are really going through a rough go. But now your kids are in totally different seasons. So we will dip into the archives and we will link your initial Why Me conversation with us to this episode so that people can dive a little bit deeper. But what's an update then on your kids? If they're all married, then clearly the effort you put in back then and all the prayers paid off, right?
Oh, man, Holly, it's truly all about prayer. I mean, just to all those parents out there, whatever season you're in, seriously, hang in there. Some seasons are easier than others. And as you listen to our story, we've been sharing our story now for quite a few years. You know, I didn't want to air the dirty laundry. You want to present, here's a great job. The truth is we all have struggles. And when our kids were teen and young adults, they ran away from the Lord. But, you know, we wanted them to follow Jesus and have faith in him, but we actually wanted them to make good decisions in their life, like not use drugs and, you know, be addicts to various things that are destructive in their lives. I mean, any parent wants that. But, you know, the Lord was faithful. I mean, it really is an incredible story of praying, learning to continue to pray, learning to trust God when things didn't necessarily look like they were going to get better. And we really, truly do give all the credit to the Lord for bringing our kids back, each in their own way. It's that story of surrender, and they each had to choose that. And we're really just amazed at how God has continued to work things out in their life. And I know you had Curtis on the podcast, and he's a guy you should catch up with too, because him and his wife, Sylvia, they're just in full-time ministry with E3 Canada. We went to Thailand with them. It's pretty amazing now to think we're serving with our kids in ministry on a lot of levels. My daughter's a worship leader, got married last summer. My oldest son is continue to lead worship as well. And you know what I mean? Like, you just go, okay, it's all about the Lord. And yet I would say it's about just be faithful to keep following God yourself. So when they come to their senses, they find you where they left you. And I think that's really important. It's easy, like, man, my family screwed up, or I've failed or messed up, and you just want to maybe walk away from God yourself. You get a little bitter and twisted. And I'm telling you, remain faithful. Just keep following the Lord. He's the one who will go and get your kids, and they will return to where they left you, and you can reestablish that relationship. It's a beautiful thing.
We'll talk about the book, yes, but when it comes to you and 700 Club, like, I've really struggled lately with identity. And identity is, you know, is who is Johnny on radio? Who is Johnny off of radio? And somebody who's in media like yourself, like, we want to make sure that everything comes across, that we're not struggling or anything like that. So you are a part of 700 Club. How difficult was it then to step away from that and be like, listen, yeah, I'm not going to be a part of this anymore, because, you know, our identity is wrapped up so much in the media that we're in.
Yeah, what we do, not who we are.
Oh, I think you hit it right on the head. And I have to be honest too, Johnny, like, whenever you're going to change, or you're going to walk away from something that obviously was a great thing. I mean, I had the privilege of hosting this daily TV show, which I really loved, and it was a great fit for lots of my gifts. You know, you can feel pretty good about yourself when you're doing something that's, you know, fairly, I guess you might say, successful. So why would you let it go? I think that we all have to come to ask ourselves the question, what are we being defined by? See, our identity really is an answering of the question, who or what is defining you? And by that, I mean, what gives you your value and your worth? And I share all through my book, my story of identity. So to say, Johnny, you're an identity crisis, maybe, I don't know if it's crisis yet, or Holly, I'm sure you've hit a few of those. We all are in an identity crisis in some level and seasons in our life. And letting go of a career is a big identity crisis. Who will I be if I let this go? Does this define me? I had to get really honest about that. And if I could say, oh, it doesn't at all, I can just walk away, it's no big deal, well, I'd be lying. I mean, there was security. There's, you know, this comfort in sort of knowing a job and feeling like, you know, that's your persona or the way people perceive you. I mean, sure, you can get hung up. Any of us can get hung up on the things that we do and then let them define us. So I had to get really real and say, am I Lori Hartshorn, the TV host, you know, who does this media thing? And like, is that what defines me? And the wrestle of my life, and I think all of our life, is asking and really answering the question, what's defining you? Is it the things you do, which often us, we fall into that trap. I've had to learn in many seasons, and I have found the beauty of not allowing what I do to define me actually frees me up. It enables me to go into a new thing, because if it defined me, I wouldn't let it go. We can be defined by what we do. We can define by what's been done to us. And many people are defined by that trauma, that hurtful past, those hangups. They have let those things define them and therefore hold them back from all that God has for them. They don't know how to let go of it or move forward. Or you can be defined by what people have said about you. And I share lots of stories in my book, mine and actually 9 other people. I share their story because I want the question of identity. What or who is giving you value and worth. So in letting go of 700 Club Canada, I had to be really honest with the Lord and lay it down and say, this doesn't define me. You define me, Lord, no matter what I do. Maybe I'll never host a TV show again. Will I be okay? Yes, I will be okay. In fact, more than okay. I think if something has a grip on you, like a job or a role or a title, then actually it's really the thing that's holding you back. And I personally found, and I share my book, how I left teaching, how I left working for John Maxwell, a leadership organization, how I left now a TV. Maybe I'm just the one who leaves jobs, you know. The honest truth is, hold on to things loosely. Don't let the role of parent or mom or dad be your definer. If I did that, I was like the loser mom, right? I couldn't let that define me. So the question is, who or what's defining you? And what's bringing you value and worth? And will you let it go and lay it down and pick up the truth of who God says you are? And there's so much freedom there.
Yeah, it's incredible just hearing about all the different things that you have surrendered, that you have just let go and not let define you. I think I remember I would have been in my early 20s and radio was still so new and it was so exciting to have people recognize who you are or ask you to sign something. And I remember like leaving radio just for a short little stint. I mean, I'm a radio girl through and through, but like you every new season, every new transition, you have to ask, oh, am I letting go of this because it's unhealthy for me? Is it healthy for me? Like going through and asking all those questions. And am I allowing this to define who I am and what am I without this? And so it was a moment. It was hard to leave radio round one because it was defining me. It was becoming my identity. So I'm glad that I left when I did. And now I'm still in it. And I get to hang out with Johnny and you. And we get to talk about these really important things.
Can I tell you a quick story of how I knew it was time to let it go? I was in process of making this decision of letting it go and realized that I didn't need to be defined by that job. And as long as I was, you know, serving the Lord and loving Jesus and loving others, I could be okay. But I was actually surfing behind our boat and I had a tough time. You start out by holding on the rope. Okay, guys, you're holding on this short rope. You're fairly close to the back of the boat when you're learning how to surf. And I finally got up and I was determined because I had my grandchildren watching me and grandma had to get up because the kids were watching, you know. So I'm holding on the rope and the whole goal of this surfing gig is to let go of the rope and just let the wave take you. And I was literally in the middle of a decision, wrestling with God over, this is such a good thing, God. Like, why would I let this go? And who will I be if I let this go? And what will I do? And all the questions that everybody has when they're, you know, trying to let something go or not sure the direction. And I literally in my spirit, I heard my grandkids yelling, Grandma, let go of the rope. And I had a moment. I know it sounds like so odd, but I literally felt the Lord speak to me right there in the water, let go of the rope. And I was holding on to the rope of security in a job that you fit well. And I knew it was a good thing. But I was finding my identity, security, value, and worth too much in it. And I had to let go of the rope. I literally went to work the next week and I told my boss, I don't know how to explain this to you, but God said, let go of the rope. I mean, they just kind of looked at me like, what? But he made it very clear to me on the water as to let go of the rope and let's go. And I've honestly in this scene, maybe it's my old age and stage. It's kind of fun. It's like, you know what? Just ride the wave. Don't micromanage everything. Don't have to know. I have no clue what was ahead. I didn't even know at that point when my book would be released, but the Lord knew. So I left in December of 2023 in January. Within a few weeks later, my book was released and I've been just riding the wave. So you know what? I'm riding the wave of trusting God more and more in my life. There's a lot of freedom to that because a lot of my identity, I would say, was about control and about planning and about, you know, wanting to know that, you know, I, in many ways, I was in charge of my life. Newsflash, you're not. And so it's been a process of surrender over the years to let God define me and not the things I do define me.
You had said that there was 9 other people in the book that you had written. Why 9? Was there a specific number of people that you were looking for, or just turned out that 9 was the number?
You know what? I just started story after story. And as an interviewer and doing the TV show, is meeting a lot of really interesting people. And I was writing this book since like 2020. Okay. So it's been a while coming. And I just started collecting stories. And so as I put the book together and as I was really teaching the biblical teaching behind our identity in Christ and who we actually are, these people came to mind. Their stories came to mind that illustrated really the biblical truth. So the 9, there really wasn't a number. I mean, you know, I put my story kind of all through the book, but I just feel like God just kept bringing to mind the stories that would help people relate and help people understand what scripture is saying and how you can actually live it out. And I also, the stories are so diverse because everyone's identity journey is different, right? And it's what I actually like about it. There are people, men and women of different ages and stages, and their identity journeys are all different. So I really feel that it's one of those, I think stories are powerful. I think that's how people relate and learn the most. And then the Bible teaching is kind of like, yes, that's what it looks like, you know?
Why do you think the conversation about identity is so important now?
Everybody at any point in their life, really, and certainly at certain critical times in their life, are in an identity crisis because we all fundamentally ask the same question. Do I have value? Do I have worth? Every child asks that question. Every teenager, every young adult, you know, midlife. Do I have value? Do I have worth? I see my parents age and at in their 80s, they're still asking the question, do I have value? Do I have worth? So an identity really answers that question. And it really is, the world is in an identity crisis. I mean, we can see this all through our culture that more and more, this isn't a new story. It began in the garden. It began at the very beginning, but actually we see it worked out in our culture in so many ways where people are continuing to define themselves by the things they do. Or specifically, I would say, we're in a cultural moment where people are identifying with sexuality or their gender. This is the thing that defines them, that gives them their value and worth. They're defining themselves by the group that they're identifying with. Like these are the group of people. We all think the same way. So this is who I am. You know, we're defining ourselves by our status, of course. So it really isn't a new discussion, but I think it's really heightened in our world. And I think social media, we love social media. I mean, we're using it right now. It's a great tool, but we're watching ourselves in mirrors. And I use this illustration in the book that we're all looking in the wrong mirrors to define yourself. And if you look in a cracked or broken or distorted mirror, what do you see looking back at you but a distorted image of yourself? So if you look in the wrong mirror, the mirror of self-worth, the mirror of accomplishment, the mirror of, you know, failure, the mirror of, you name it, the mirror of comparison, you will not see a true reflection of who you're designed to be. So in my book, I talk about you've got to look, you got to find the right mirror. And of course, the answer is Jesus. He is the perfect mirror. He actually reflects not only who God is, but Jesus reflects who we were made to be. And you think, man, there's no way I can reflect Jesus. Well, actually, that's why he came. He came to show us who we were created to be. He showed us what it looks like to be human. He showed us what to have the power of the Spirit at work in life. He showed us what it looks like to be free from the power of sin. I mean, Jesus is our mirror. And the more we look at him, the more we find ourselves. So it really is a moment in this world where we're looking in the wrong mirrors. And I, in my book, I just put forward the true mirror of Jesus and say to people, this is where you will find yourself. You need to look at him.
I like to ask as of late, because, I mean, we've been doing this now for 7 years, and we've talked to a number of different authors. And one of my favorite things now is something that you've learned from this, going into it, that you might have had an idea or not had an idea, but you learned through doing the research, through writing this. Can you think of one moment or one thing?
Oh, it's so good, Johnny. I think I wrote the book out of that moment. I've been following Jesus for a long time in my life. And, you know, I have a degree in biblical studies. I've been a Bible teacher for a long time. I mean, you can kind of said I've, you know, read it, I've heard it, I know the lessons, yada, yada, yada. And yeah. I realized I wasn't understanding the truth of the power of who I am in Christ. It's like I get what Jesus did for me, but I didn't understand what difference it actually would make in my life. And I think for a lot of Christians, we live this powerless, sort of apathetic Christian life. I'm good. You know, someday Jesus is coming back and I'm going to get out of here. It's like a good old gospel song, you know? And yet we don't actually understand who we are and all that's available to us. And that's my story. It's not really to blame anybody in for my upbringing or my church or anything like that. The penny had just really not dropped. And honestly, watching these young people live out such powerful Christian lives, I mean, they are seeing miracles happen. They're healing people. They're seeing people delivered of the demonic. I mean, I've seen many of these things in my life, but I was sort of felt like I was a little bit an onlooker and not like right in the driver's seat. And maybe I felt like, well, that's for them. Maybe that's not for me. And as I watched them, and really it was a moment of a wake-up call, hearing from them, watching them live their life, and then re-looking at the Bible, I realized that I hadn't really seen in Scripture the truth of who we really are in Christ, because I had believed a lie. And I unfortunately think that for many of us that are Christians that follow Jesus, we know the gospel. We know that our sins can be forgiven and that we can be right with God and we can go to heaven and be with him one day. But we actually don't understand who we are now and all that's available to us. And the fact that not only did Jesus come to pay for our sin, it wasn't just transactional. Hey, I took care of that for you. The debt is paid. Carry on. It's actually like, now I want to give you everything that Jesus has is available to us, available to me. I never thought of that. I was like, you mean like Jesus went about healing people? Jesus delivered people from demons? Like, are you really? Like, I can walk in that? I kind of put it down to a gift conversation. It was only for certain people. And then I had this wake-up call where, like, no, actually, every single person who belongs to Jesus, everything the Father gives Jesus is available to us. It's like I didn't understand at the core, and many of us don't, how much we're loved, how actually good God is. And we see the Father and Jesus as equal, which they are, but Jesus is praying to his dad, you know, in that beautiful conversation they have about, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me, you know, like basically you'll get everything. And we go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Eventually one day when I get to heaven. And he goes, no, like now. And then he says this to his father, which is so astounding. He says, Father, I want them to really understand that we're one and that you love them as much as you love me. You love them as much as you love me. You know, I think underneath my own journey, I never really got how deeply loved I was from God. I felt like I had to prove myself to God because that was my MO. That was my, if I can just try harder, do better, achieve more, then maybe, you know, I'll have value and worth. Maybe I'll be seen and loved. But this is not the message of the gospel. Imagine the Heavenly Father and Jesus being one, right? He fully loves Jesus. Like, we know God loves Jesus so much. Everything is available to Jesus. Everything. The Father never holds back on Jesus. And the Father says, that's what I invite you into. I invite you into that relationship. You're not a second-rate child. I love you as much as I love my own son. And not only do I want to be with me someday, but right now I want to give it all to you. I want to give the power that Jesus walked in on earth was the power of the Holy Spirit. That's available to every one of us right now. But do we receive it? Do we get it? Do we walk in it? And you know, I've just had such a freedom in my own life when I was so humbled by this truth that I really felt I wasn't loved by God, that I still needed to prove to him something. And when I started to receive his love for myself, I stopped feeling like I needed to prove that I'm worthy and that I needed to achieve something. And I'm telling you, the freedom it's brought me and then the boldness it brings you. I can live like Jesus. I can actually ask the Father for what I, for his will to be done, his kingdom to come. I'm a part of everything he wants to accomplish. Let's go. You know, he wasn't holding out on me. I was holding out on him because I didn't know who I was. And I didn't know truly what was available to me. And that's why I wrote the book. Deeply out of compassion, out of honesty in my own journey, to encourage everyone who follows Jesus and to invite people who don't yet know him. The book is being shared by many people now, people who don't yet know Jesus, people who know Jesus, or maybe they don't actually know all that's available to them. And I'm hearing incredible stories of people that go, I'm learning who I really am, and I'm learning all that's available to me. And it's freeing me up from these things that I used to let define me. I'm laying them all down, and I'm finding my true self, and I'm finding the true purpose of my life and the freedom that comes with that. And honestly, I just say, yeah, I'm so thankful to the Lord because I wrote this out of my own journey and my own heart, and I'm still learning it, you know, but the freedom that comes with it is so amazing. And that's why I called it Found. Everything that was lost has been found in Jesus, and we can take hold of it.
Yeah. It sounds like you've had an opportunity to just to reflect so much just on identity, but your own journey and how you, I just love how you keep learning. You're just such a student at heart. And you know, life is never like until you die, life's not finished. And so like, why not keep embracing those lessons that God teaches you? And so in that reflective, you know, vein, we ask those questions, why me? This is the Why Me Project. And so you've shared one why me that you had in the episode a couple years ago now. And so I'm curious, have you had any new why me moments, or maybe has this new chapter of your life help you see that why me that you shared in a different kind of way?
You know, it's a great question, why me? And I think we just continue to ask it. I am a constant learner, and I don't just mean in the textbooks, you know, like I think we really need we can lean into our life and constantly learn. I mean, I love the scripture. It says, you know, basically your body's a tent and it continues to wear out, but the inner man is renewed day by day. And I keep reminding my own parents who are in their 80s of that, like, you know what? The inner man never will wear out. It's being renewed day by day. So as I embrace that question, why me? I'll be honest. Before I let go of the rope, so to speak, of this assignment, this, you know, this job and title and role that I had, I really wrestled with God and did ask him, why me? Why do I need to let go of this? Like, why can't I just keep doing this thing, you know, for another 5, 10 years, whatever. But the Lord really, to your point, Holly, he's just like, Lori, there's so, like, it's a good thing, but do you trust me? Do you trust me? Are you willing to just ride the wave with me? I think I'm in a season of stepping into greater faith, like not having it all figured out. And it is kind of scary, but I think, like, I know scripture says God loves faith. And I think I could have continued to do 700 Club Canada, been a TV host, and God would have been pleased with that. Like, it's not like a bad thing. But you know what he wants? More than he wants us to do things for him, he wants us to experience him in whatever we're doing. And I want to experience God more in my life. And as I get older, I find that for me, it means laying down some of the things that I do, because unfortunately for me, that's where I can find a lot of my value and worth. So the why me is, I think God wants to teach me more about what it means to live by faith. I think he loves and has great joy in let's go and ride the wave together. And I can honestly say I'm having a blast. Doors have opened. I'm like, what? That? What? You want me to speak to what group? Like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, giddy up, let's go. And we went to Thailand on a mission trip. And I'm like, I don't want to go to Thailand, but let's go. You know, like, I'm just less and less trying to figure it all out or hold tightly onto things. And I will say this to those, no matter your age or stage, you got to hold on to things loosely. You can't be defined by it. Do not let the role of radio host define you. That actually isn't all that you are. It's a great thing. God can use it. But always be willing to let God, whether you leave the job or not, okay, even while you keep doing the job, more and more live by faith. More and more God cares about just enjoying his relationship with you and you enjoying him. And I'd say be willing to let it go, and then he'll tell you whether it's time or not.
Last one for you. So you go away from 700 Club. You're like, I don't know if I'm ever going to do any kind of media ever again. Now you're doing these interviews promoting your book. But there is one other thing, and I know we've talked about it before, and I know that it isn't officially launched yet. I'm not putting any pressure on you.
No pressure,
but a podcast. I mean, we have talked about the fact maybe you doing a podcast. Is that something still in the future?
You know what? The answer is yes. I actually do know that the Lord has given me the yes, let's do this podcast thing. And Holly, I called her and said, but you coach me, Holly. You know what, though? Here's the cool thing. I don't have to do it right now. And you know what? Maybe it would say, well, you better get going. You know, people might forget you. Like, you might get irrelevant. You might like, and I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to steward the message God gave me. And I do believe podcast, it is coming. But I actually felt the Lord just say, just rest a moment, my dear child. I've been going hard for many years and I'm learning to rest. And that means literally not working as much and changing some rhythms in my life. And I really think I'm in a season of learning to just go at God's pace. So, okay, hold me to it. I am actually really excited about doing it. But I'm going to do it when God says, yeah, it's okay. It's go time. And there's a few things I'm asking him about before I launch this baby, but it's coming. It's coming your way.
The book is available now. You can follow her on all the socials. Lori, episode 230, it was too long. We had to get you back. We are so glad that you are the first of our many guests who will hopefully come back. Maybe Holly and I haven't made everybody mad, but thank you for saying yes yet again.
Thank you, guys, and God bless you. I mean, just know you are deeply loved. You are seen by God. You have everything that's available to Jesus is available to you right now, no matter what you're doing or not doing. So take that one with you. You are found in Jesus. Love to be back with you.
You know how you say that you always have these different women in your life, Holly, that kind of mentor you and press into you? That's what I feel like Lori is. And I need myself a Lori.
You need a Lori. You do. I love how she just truly walks in faith. It's such an inspiration for me, because we are all in different parts in our own journey. And just to see that, even as a grandma who's who's surfing, which I love that, she just felt God say, time for the next thing. You still have air in your lungs. Yeah. Time for the next thing. That's just so encouraging that you might think that this is your thing, but maybe there is time for the next thing.
No, what I do, it does not define me. You need to unearth your identity and your purpose. These are all things that I'm just like, yes. I think in this time, in this day and age, everything is so identity focused. And I just love the fact that she's like, my next stage is this book. And these are the things that I've learned. And I want to pass on my knowledge to those maybe who are struggling in that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so you can check out her book, Found. It is available if you're feeling lost. Well, I think that's a lot of us. It's very interesting days and ages that we live in right now. So definitely check it out.
Now, speaking of Found, we're glad that you found us. And we're so glad that you follow us on the socials. And if you don't, what are you doing and why not?
We actually just started a TikTok channel. So it's at Why Me Project. And we have one video. That's it. So we'll try to do more. But we are just getting started in the land of TikTok.
The Twitter or X, Facebook, on the YouTube, a Tikataka, man. We are 2025. Look out for all the new social medias because we are going to be a part of it.
We're going to do something.
Don't forget, you can download places like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and check us out at faithstrongtoday.com.